Good day, fellow homesteaders and truth seekers. Welcome to the PRQ Homesteading Expanded Radio Show, January 17th, 2026, where we dive deep into the roots of self-sufficiency and reclaiming our sovereignty. Today, we're exploring banks and the value of your signature, that invisible thread binding us to a financial web where your name holds power far beyond ink on a paper. In this world of mortgages, loans, and endless paperwork, the system often feels like a storm cloud over our homestead dreams, pushing us toward dependency instead of freedom. And boy, howdy, have I felt that paperwork for sure in the last month. So remember, my friends, keep on remembering how we get through this as we navigate these waters, not with anger or fear, by staying heart-centered. Let compassion guide us as we uncover how to honor our true worth, protect our land through our homestead patents, and build resilient lives rooted in love and intention. So stick around as we share experiences and empower each other to thrive beyond the bank's grasp. So let's homestead from the heart today. Real quick, shout out to Chelsea in Australia. I just wanted to give her a shout out because we collaborated earlier via email. Thank you for sharing your homestead experience with me, Chelsea. And it sounds like you have your hands full with the children. And hopefully you will get some time to give us a call here at BBS Radio and share your homestead experience live. So on that note, Shane, what are the call-in numbers today?
Hey, thank you, Robin. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, audience. Thank you, BBS Radio. We would like to inspire everyone to call in at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. And if you're out of country, 323-744-4831. That's 323-744-4831. You can also email us if you can't get us on the phone or if you want to talk to us about anything that you're experiencing or some of the things that you're creating or any great experience from the heart that your synchronicities are flowing to you, you can email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com with any questions. Feel free to subscribe to our show. Our subscriptions start at $2.99. We do accept donations. If that's all you can afford is a donation, we do donate to those in need. We have small families that out there right now that need help, and we do our best to donate. So please feel free to give what you can. If you can't give anything, your energy from your heart is more important to us than anything. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Robin. And thank you, BBS Radio.
Okay. And also, just to circle back to Chelsea, anybody out there in Australia that is actually doing a homestead patent, we'd like to get you guys connected, because the more that we come together, the bigger the communities and the more homesteaders that we have. So anyone in the Australia area, I know Chelsea is out there away from a lot of people and doesn't know a whole lot of people. So reach out to us so we can connect. Okay. All right. This episode is sponsored by Nano Ojas. Fuel your focus, elevate your energy, shift your aging skin, strengthen your immune system naturally. These next gen nano sprays deliver pure, potent nutrients that absorb instantly, helping you feel your best from the inside out. Nano Ojas, where science meets the soul. Check them out at nanoojas.net. And use the promo code PRQHOME15 for 15% off your order, not just your first order, but every order. And just for those of you that are just trying it, you can't just try it for a couple of weeks, okay? This goes right into the cells. And if there's anything wrong within the vessel that needs to be repaired, it will go to that cell. And once that's done, it moves on. So it's not just something you can take and then put it on the shelf. All right. It's a daily thing. I take it daily. So if you want to know more about it, there's scientific information at the website, and there's also live testimonials. Okay. So just a recap from last week's show. Kimberly from Michigan shared with us her experience in regard to her homestead and challenges of not paying her property taxes. Since then, I have discovered that under the 16th Amendment, property taxes were at one time a violation of the 16th Amendment, which I learned on Real Estate Minds, which we're going to play a clip from here in a minute. Let me back up here. Presently, our beautiful president, DJT, is trying to abolish property taxes. We've all heard that in the past couple of weeks. If you're, you know, checking in, not all the time, but just checking in what's going on in the mainstream. When he succeeds, and I say when he succeeds because I truly feel it's going to happen, we will have to ask ourselves, what would this mean to the homesteaders that own their property, such as Kimberly? I am feeling no challenges or pushbacks from the state and local government. How are you feeling, Shane?
Yeah, I think the direction that we're going in, you can kind of see it unfolding from a higher view, looking down of how things are already moving in other states. There's other states that are already taking action in doing away with property taxes. They're coming out publicly talking about it. And I just think that the war is already won. It's just a matter right now of waking up the masses, of bringing it to the forefront of their mind and allowing them to gradually become aware of this. It's been a soft drip. I guess if it was a leak, this would be a soft drip. So yeah, the war is already won. It's just pantomime, and just everyone is just waking up to what's going on. Now the system is still fighting back. The ones that are in the lower system are still fighting back, but you can see how they are exposing themselves right now with the pushback in the public eye.
Yeah, and as we've seen in the past week on ForThePeople.space, good things are coming. And I feel it. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm feeling some really good shifts here in the last couple of days. It's amazing. So just for the new listeners, under the Homestead Act of 1862, just to give you a little overview, individuals could claim federal land by living on it, improving it, and meeting certain requirements upon success. The U.S. government issued land patents, which is essentially the original deed transferring title from the federal government to private ownership. This granted what we know as the allodial title, meaning absolute ownership without feudal obligations. Now, you wonder what feudal obligations. Its feudal obligations would be replaced central government, controlled labor and land, created inherited hierarchy, bond generations into got obligation without consent. And some of that is kind of going on a little bit today. So nearly all private land in the U.S. traces back to such patents or similar grants holding or updating an original land patent in the state and local government. They see it as it does not exempt the property from property taxes, zoning laws, or other state and local regulations, which we all who have the patents know differently. Courts and attorney generals' opinions have consistently ruled that once land passes into private hands via a patent, it becomes part of the general mass of property in the state and is subject to taxation, just like any other parcel. Attempts to use patents to avoid taxes have been rejected in cases across, get this, the number one state, like Michigan, and then Florida, and of course some others. Now, I'm not going to get into what other states those are. This is a belief of the state and local government, and that is, from my experience, what they are seeing here in the local state and local government locally around where I live. Okay, so we're going to play a clip from Real Estate Mindset, and they are going to talk about the property taxes. So let's cue it up, BBS.
This week has been absolutely bonkers when it comes to the housing market, as President Donald Trump has said many things, one being that he plans on eliminating institutional investors from purchasing single-family residences, something that I've been wanting for a long time, being that as prices go down and if we abolish property taxes, there will be accelerated involvement because their cap rates will shift. Now, on top of that, unfortunately, a lot of stuff, you guys, unfortunately, he's also talking about mortgage-backed security, QE, or rather financial weapons of mass destruction. So we're going to go over that. And we're also going to go over him also saying that he wants to abolish property taxes. Now, if he does that, I will stop everything I'm doing right now, and I will do everything to help that man, because property taxes is the biggest, most important civil rights movement of our generation. And people are starting to finally understand that property taxes is the most regressive tax in our history. Remember, it used to be life, liberty, and the pursuit of property.
And I second that. So what he's talking about is the mortgage-backed securities QE. So I'm going to give you a little definition of that. The central banks in the U.S., the Federal Reserve, purchasing large quantities of mortgage-backed securities as part of a quantitative easing. What the Fed does in MBS QE, they buys agency MBS from banks and financial institutions. They pay for them with newly created bank reserves, which we kind of talked about a little bit on my last show. And it holds those MBS on its balance sheets. And we're going to talk about that a little further down in when we get to the power of your signature. Okay, so we're going to queue up the next one where they talk about mortgage-backed securities, and this is Mitch Vessler of Real Estate Mindset, and go ahead and cue it up, BBS.
All right, Mitch, now we're going to go into something much more difficult to talk about and much more concerning, which is the mortgage-backed security purchasing. But before I go into that, I want to listen to Kennedy talk about his thoughts on the Federal Reserve. And remember, you guys, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are the long arm of the Federal Reserve, or the tentacle of the Federal Reserve.
And if the Fed is like a pump, its function, it operates on behalf of a few Wall Street banks. And its function is to act like a pump. It is literally strip mining the wealth and equity away from the American middle class, shifting it up where companies in this country and financial institutions, when I was a kid, they would go out, if you wanted to make an investment, they'd go out and look at all the factories. They'd go to Michigan, they'd go to Detroit, they'd go to other parts of our country, and they'd look at the factories and they'd say, what does the management team look like? What are the production figures? What are the financial figures? What is the bank book? What is the inventory? They'd look at that and then they'd make a financial bet. That doesn't happen today. The only thing they're focused on Wall Street is, what is the Fed going to do next? And our country's been financialized, and we've allowed all of the industry to leave our country, and it's now in China. We've outsourced it.
Okay. So the reason why I'm playing these is because of, I've actually gone through this process in regard to what I'm finding about my own personal mortgage. And this radio show is all about sharing experiences. All right. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there in regard to the banks. And we know that there's a little stuff going on out there right now. And I do believe President Trump has given the banks, I think, what is it, Shane, 2 weeks as of last Monday?
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on out there right now with the silver. Right now, what you're watching is the dismantling of the banking system as we know it. And silver is what's creating that. As of starting January 1st with Trump initiating, allowing people to take their 401ks and invest it into gold, silver, and into crypto for the first time ever was huge. They're pulling their money out of the market by doing that. And then also, as of last Monday, I don't remember the date, but
13.
The banks were no longer allowed to sell paper silver bonds anymore, which they've been doing for a very long time. From my understanding, they've been selling them on average, it's 300 to one. So they've been selling the same bond over and over and over again. And with that being said, the banks, as of on the 13th, they have 2 weeks to verify. Verify that they have all the assets in tangible form to back what they have sold. So they've been given 2 weeks to do that. So now that they don't have these bonds, which I want people to understand that a silver paper bond is less valuable than a tangible. So if you're going to go and buy silver right now, it's probably $130 an ounce compared to, I'm not sure where silver is at right now. I know it got up to $90 an ounce. However, so they have to have tangible in hand now. So these banks are now in panic mode going out purchasing silver at $130 an ounce. And if they can't, within 2 weeks, if they can't prove that they have it, they then have to give the money back to the people. And or they collapse and then the Fed takes over, which we all know who is in control of the Fed and the Treasury, which is Donald Trump. So right now what you're seeing is these banks are going to start going liquid real fast, calling in lines of credit. They are in panic mode, and they were in panic mode even before the year. They tried shorting the stock several times over the last 3 weeks, and JP Morgan actually got caught doing that, and they were fined $1 billion for trying to short the stock. So a lot is happening behind the scenes. None of it's hitting the mainstream media. What you're seeing right now, like I said, this has already happened. We have two financial systems running parallel side by side. And right now what we're seeing is the downfall of the old system. Last week on Friday, the Supreme Court's actually, there was a case actually put forth in the Supreme Court where they're trying to make Trump refund, I think it was $188 billion of tariff money, because what's happening is he's collecting all this tariff money now, and he's not having to get loans from the central bank anymore. from this. So if we're not using a central bank anymore, and the only thing we're doing is taking the tariff money and putting it, you know, we're holding on to the tariff money. We're not borrowing any more money. We've cut the head off the snake. And that's what's really going on in Venezuela. And also in Mexico is that this is what you're seeing right now is the downfall of the cabal. And this is the last move. So.
Yep. It's the beginning of something really big. Okay. We have a caller on line one, Ann from Florida, to discuss her homesteading in Florida. Hi, Ann.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
Doing so good.
You're going to share with us your homesteading experience?
So mine from approximately 3 years back, 4 years, I guess 4 years back. And I didn't do everything maybe the 100% correct way. So I like to share my experience so that others don't make the same mistakes, which they really weren't mistakes. It's mistakes in the system the way it is now. But I do have remedy and recourse according to the Constitution, which now more and more people are leaning towards that. So I hope that part makes sense. Back then, I did my land patent. I followed every procedure properly, publicly announced it, waited 2 months before completing the filing, got everything from the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, with two raised seal documents proving that I was able to trace everything back properly. In the county and state eyes, they immediately upon me recording the fact that I had done everything properly and publicly notifying them, had recourse on me, and they came after us hard and filed a foreclosure on our home. And the state listened to statutes and codes, and instead of doing the constitutional correct law, they just bamboozled us and then ended up taking our home, kicking us out, throwing everything on the front porch and everything. And when I went and filed an emergency federal court case against them, they had a real estate agent give false testimony. It's all on their dash, and vest cameras. They coached a real estate agent into making a false statement so they could arrest me. And by putting me in jail for 64 days, they were able to steal our home. The reason why they did that, in my humble opinion, is because as long as I was not captured by them, I was filing federal cases, which kept our home safe for over a year and a half. And so they finally captured me for 64 days, and at the 60-day mark, they stole our home. None of it's lawful. It's all against the law. It's not constitutional.
And may I ask a question real quick? Did you have a mortgage on it, or you just okay? And so, were you paying on the mortgage?
We had the home was completely paid off. Back when we purchased, they still gave you back everything. So I have the wedding signature showing the home was paid off the first year we bought it. My husband and I started to flip houses, so we took a home equity line of credit. That home equity line of credit is what they were foreclosing upon because I got deathly ill. I have proof and documentation of letters that I wrote trying to renegotiate that loan for the home equity, to which Bank of America then promptly sold the home to another company, which again, that's against the law because there's no wedding signature. So without that, I have the original documentation, mortgage deed, promissory note, all in my possession with the wet ink and the notary stamps, everything. I still have it in my possession. So when they did this to me, the judge totally unlawfully did all this. If anybody understands this, that they would know how detrimental this is to them. The problem is it's only now getting to the point that enough people are stepping forward and standing up that we will have recourse against them, especially bringing forth, you know, using the Constitution, et cetera. Back then, I knew enough to what they would say. I knew enough to get myself in trouble, but I didn't know enough to how to protect it. Now, this is what I want to share with your listeners.
Okay.
You want to have an ecclesiastical trust in place, and you want all your property and belongings in that trust before you do any of this other stuff. And that's for your protection. When you have that trust in place and you have moved everything to it and you as the trustee have accepted it, when that has happened, it's protected. But as long as you don't have all that in place, and I was in process of everything when I did this, and the judge knew because she actually bantered back and forth with me several times. And I said, I even said it, and it's on record, you are interrupting my process, and you know that as we're going through the process, you're supposed to be standing down, and this is an act of treason. And I defined it. I brought up the CRIS. I brought up the Clearfield Doctrine. I brought up my CUSIP number of the court case so that they knew that I knew that this was a taxable event, and they still push forward with it. So I have lots of recourse, and the more we learn and study, the better. But I just want to let everybody know, you want to have yourself protected. And one thing that I was never taught, I wasn't taught to make sure that trust was in place first.
Right. And was this state and local government?
The state and local governments who came after me, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Did you get the house back?
And they ignored the federal government Bureau of Land Management because according to the statutes and codes, they feel that they have priority. I brought up Florida Constitution. I also brought up the fact that the Florida Constitution, the most recent one, has never been ratified. So really, we're supposed to be operating off of the earlier one. I believe it's either 1883 or... I think it's 1883.
Yeah, that sounds right.
68 is not ratified.
Right. So you recently...
And yeah, so they just go again.
So, Anne, in the state of Florida, I think you mentioned something about DeSantis was okay with the homesteading, or was it property taxes? Which one?
Property taxes. DeSantis, okay. Is an agreement that we don't need to pay property taxes, but obviously it's going to have to go up to the voters. And then, you know, there's different levels of people in everything that's going on. You have people who are voters still. You have some who are like, no, I'm part of the American, a national, I'm not registered to vote. So you have different realms of people doing different things. But in order for them to approve this, it's going to be according to, you know, the way the laws are written at this present time. If you're going with statutes and codes, then they would need to put this up for a vote. If you're going with you're part of the Republic, then the Republic has to stand up and take that position.
Wow. Very, very interesting information. Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And did you get the house back, may I ask?
No, that is part of the thing that I'm working on because now we have enough people stepping up in my area. And so in the area that I live in, there's enough of us standing up. And so we are coming forward and we are serving public documents at the county commissioner's offices and letting them know that they are violating the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. And by violating the Constitution, and now we put them on notice that we can actually come after them personally, because once you're on notice, it is now you've actually waived your right of protection, because as a public servant, you took an oath to the Constitution of the United States. And so with that, that's how you have to hold your public officials. You have to go to the county commissioner's meeting. You have to give them notice that what they are doing is violating the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. And by violating that, it now would hold them, if they keep paying these judges and sheriffs to do things such as take houses away and charging the property taxes that should not be there on homestead property, then now they can be held personally liable.
May I ask one more question? Have you tried to take this into a federal court?
Yes, but according to the federal court, I'm able to redress all of this because they dismissed it without prejudice, which means I can open it again. And so I am working on perfecting that.
Okay.
When you just use ChatGPT by itself, ChatGPT is not trained properly. So, but when you upload the specific Bible that you want to be used, when you upload Black Law's Dictionary, when you upload the Constitution of the United States, and you upload the laws and the amendments and the Bill of Rights into it, now ChatGPT, you instruct it to use the tools that you've uploaded, and now it will start working for you. So I always ask it to write in equity and using the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. And now it can transform my facts and transform it into the proper way that I should have filed the first time, which obviously, again, you know, 4 years ago, I know way more now than I did 4 years ago. I know more now than I did 3 years ago. So
right.
I've just, in my humble opinion, kept studying and gotten better and better at this. And so now I am prepping my federal document. And
yeah,
obviously the first time they sold the house, they sold it with a special warranty deed. And that means that they knew the home was not properly titled because they stole it. And then I also have evidence of the clerk of court who has since stepped down with me bringing this evidence forward. I have evidence the clerk of court kept changing documents because I screenshot them and I certified my case. And by certifying my case, I can see what document was where, when, and he has changed documents without a judge's signature. And so
yeah.
That right there is also, since I brought that forward and filed a whistleblower to the FEC for securities fraud, he has since stepped down.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, you'll have to update us on how that's going to go, and appreciate you calling in and sharing your experience with the audience and also with us. Thank you so much.
So, Ann, can I ask
Absolutely.
You a question?
I hope you have a fantastic
wait,
day.
Wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I was waiting. So you do actually have the federal land patent on the property. You have that
I
in
do.
Your possession. Did you ever try to call the state attorney general on this?
Again, you have to do things a certain way. And
right.
Yes, I have. And I guess the way that it was done then might not have been 100% right. But now that I have kept studying, again, it's one of those
right.
things where another one of my friends is in a similar situation. And they actually did write back and they are investigating Penny Mac. If any of you have Penny Mac,
yeah.
Florida is investigating Penny Mac. And
they
then
should,
mine
they
was
should investigate
caliber,
all of them.
They should. So we're tweaking my stuff and sending it. So mine was Caliber Home Loans with some kind of numbers and letters. I haven't looked at it in a while to have it 100%, but something like 9LRS Trust. So if any of you have that and you're in Florida, I would encourage you to reach out to me. I would love to talk more. I'll give you an email address that kind of still keeps me a little anonymous. So you would do abundanceministry@gmail.com. And if you reach out to me, put in the subject line that you live in the state of Florida and that you have either Caliber Home Loan or something like that. And that way we can all connect because the more doing this together, the better it is, and we're
yes.
able to rise up and have success.
100%, 100%. Thank you so much, Anne, for calling in. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, y'all have a great day.
Okay, on that note, can you cue up BBS Radio, can you cue up the next clip?
How to make housing more affordable. Well, the most simple, basic thing, get rid of the institutionalized systemic moral hazard, which is the property tax,
which is a violation of the 16th Amendment. We've laid all this out. It's now sitting at the Supreme Court here in Texas. Point being, you get rid of that, then all of a sudden the debt to income ratio drops, not from 28, but down to 23 or 21, where it belongs based on the inflation that President Trump is rightfully complaining about, as is everybody else. The DTI drops 28 to 21, not 45 or 65 to 28. Get rid of the real estate tax in favor of the uniform state's sales tax and return the balance sheet to mom and pop and all property owners so that the equity stripping of their mortgage stops and they own the land beneath their asset. That's how you do this. Issue the magic words and you win.
Okay, so very, very interesting and story. And so I want to kind of dive into the value of your signature. Long ago, we found out that our Social Security number was connected to an account in our name worth millions, okay, according to the theory Strawman Trust and how it connects to the U.S. financial banking system. So we say, what is the Strawman theory? We have all heard that when we're born, the government creates a second version of you, a fictional entity using your name, which is put in all capital letters, not only on the birth certificate, the Social Security number, your driver's license, etc. It goes on and on your bills. Anyhow, allegedly, our birth certificate is a bond, and we, the entity version, are sold as collateral on the international markets. Allegedly, okay? My point being is that last week we talked about the negotiable instruments and how your signature creates value. Is this somehow related? Because the birth certificate is also considered a financial instrument, theoretically. According to some, it is recorded and tracked. What is the definition of certificate? Okay, when it comes to finances and securities, a physical or digital document representing ownership, like a stock certificate or a bond certificate. When you look at this definition of a certificate, it is almost like a title or receipt. So your Social Security number is issued by the Treasury and is used in connection with credit, taxes, federal, state, and local contracts, right? We here in American are corporation-based systems, thus giving weight to both fictional corporations and trusts, as Ann said earlier about putting your assets into a trust. That's a whole nother topic. We'll maybe dive in later. So why is this such a secret? Something to feel into, just saying to all you guys out there, if you have documents in regard to your mortgage, really jump into them and what the language means, because you're going to find out so much. And I know just from my own personal experience. So I want to kind of circle back to how the signature creates value. As I said in the last show, when you sign for a loan or a mortgage, your signature creates the value. The question is, where does the value come from? How is our signature used as a financial instrument by the bank? The bank, in my opinion, should already have lots of money. That's what I have always thought, and definitely more than you or I. Yet the bank uses your identity and paperwork that you sign to monetize the obligation that you are signing for. When you sign and make the commitment to be obligated, it indicates that you are obligated. Yet, under 18 U.S.C. 8, it says that the United States is pretty much obligated to everything. Therefore, the obligations are the United States. Now, we have heard that our Social Security number, being a trust account, hypothetically, just theory, you know, I don't want to say that. You have to research that. And presumably, we could say this is why your signature has value. Keep in mind, this is just a theory. Okay, is what I was trying to say. All right, so give you an overview of U.S. Code 8 defines the term obligation or other security of the United States as including all bonds. Okay, just checking to see if there's any callers so I can continue on. certificates of indebtedness, national bank currency, Federal Reserve notes, Federal Reserve bank notes, coupons, United States notes, treasury notes, gold certificates, silver certificates, fractional notes, which we talked about on last show, fractionalization, certificates of deposits, bills, checks, or drafts, or money. All right, so that gives you an overview. So it says, it goes on to say, talks about stamps under issued under any act of Congress and canceled United States stamps. All right, so the reality of the situation is that the banks don't give you money. They just record numbers. That is a fact. Where do these numbers come from? We could say the straw man theory, right? Possibly. I don't know. You have to research it. The banks run on a system of book entries based on your signature. So when you apply for a loan, did you ever really receive cash? I know I never have. I've either gotten a check or it was deposited into my account. So does money exist or is it just an illusion? Is this a game that we're playing in a system? You have to wonder about that. So when we used to watch the movies where the cartels or the criminals would go to the bank and deposit large sums of money and put it in the vault, right? The bank had a vault. We always thought the bank had tons of money in the vault because how many times have people robbed banks and they're taking all the money out, right? I think that's what we call programming, television. The money we see in the banks is our money being circulated, okay? So we deposit the Federal Reserve note. So that's not really money. It's a reserve note. So what they do is enter numbers into a computer and we perceive it as real money in actual reality. Everything is digital. The Federal Reserve even admits that the banks don't actually lend money. What they do, there is a book called Modern Money Mechanics, okay? And there's actually a doctrine. Now, there are some things that say that it's a legal doctrine, but again, you have to really research it and understand it. The Modern Money Mechanics Doctrine boils down to this. It's a guide from the old Federal Reserve explaining how money gets created in the U.S. economy, not by printing presses, which we've all heard in the past, but mostly through banks. In a nutshell, under fractional reserve banking, banks only hold a small chunk of your deposit as reserves, approximately around 10%, and then they lend out the rest. When they make a loan, they create new money by crediting the borrower's account. The money gets spent, deposited elsewhere, and the process repeats like a snowball effect, turning $1 in reserves into up to 10 and new money circulating. So the Fed controls this by tweaking reserves through buying, selling bonds, or adjusting rules to expand or shrink the money supply and keep the economy stable. It's all about confidence. Money works because we trust it's scarce and useful. Too much leads to inflation and too little recession. Simple as that. So the book basically says that the banks don't lend money. They create credit on their books. This doctrine is legal, so they say, but again, you need to really dive into it and find out exactly what legal is. And therefore, when and if you challenge the banks and you quote this information and they tell you it's fraud, here is your proof. You get into the doctrine and find the information that pertains to your particular situation, such as Anne, for instance, which she just shared with us. You can lie about something that is legal. If you research what the banks of England say, it says that 90% of the money is created by commercial banks when they issue loans. Look it up. What is legally recognized? Credit creations through lending, fractional reserve banking, debt-based monetary systems, negotiable instruments, checks, notes, and drafts, and security interests under the UCCs. So really know the UCCs. They will really help you. Do we have any callers? It's pretty quiet out there today. That's okay. So going on, those of you who are homesteaders and have a mortgage, and this is why I'm sharing this with you, okay? go through, and if you're going through a foreclosure in regard to your mortgage, or like in Kimberly's case, who owns property and the state and local government are trying to foreclose on her because of not paying taxes. Challenge the banks and research your documents, because that's where it's at. Okay, that's where your defense will be in regard to signing these documents. You just got to jump into it and find out what they did. Follow the paper trail. We need to be conscious of the life we are living in, the system that we are participating in. Whatever you perceive your reality to be is going to determine your happiness, freedom, and being sovereign. Shane, any comments?
Yeah, I mean, I like what Ann said when she called in, as far as I think that would be a wise move for people to put their property into a trust before starting the process. I think that was good advice.
Yeah. I actually, she actually assisted me with putting one together. It's really not that hard. It does involve some paperwork. Man, I'll tell you, all this stuff involves paperwork. Not my highest excitement. But in my situation right now, I can open the trust, which is what I will do, but I can't put anything in it at this point in time in regard to my situation, my experience that I'm having right now in regard to my homestead.
Right.
So going on, when you sign your promissory note for the mortgage, for example, the bank creates an asset on its books, which I talked about on last week's show. The bank creates a matching liability, being your loan amount. Then you use the liability while they keep the asset. This is how it is done. But what they don't tell you, that it is just a record, it's just a recording on their books as an asset. They make us believe that we are borrowing money. And so I say, is money even real? Or is it just an illusion? Possibility, huh, Shane?
It is definitely just a tool to keep us emotionally attached to fear that if we don't have this, then that will be our life, which if you understand how it works, that will then control the reality that you live in, and that will be the experience that you experience. So yes, money is just a tool, and the bad guys know it.
Yep. And our friend always told us what people are way too attached to it and always feel that they can't get this unless they have that. And it seems like it's a game. If you learn how to play this game, you could turn it around for sure. So the asset is already deposited. They just create a matching liability, keeping the asset. Instead of balancing out the asset, this is where the Federal Reserve comes in, and it balances out the asset or clears it out. Then it is sold on Wall Street. This is where it is known as securitization. And this is how the investors trade it, as a mortgage-backed security. Sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me. What do you think?
I agree. I agree. Robin, I think we had two callers call in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, who do we got? I see... Oh my gosh, Chelsea from Australia. Let's take her. Hello, Chelsea. Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, there you are. We hear you.
Hi.
We're not hearing you too well, though, Chelsea. Okay. Chelsea, you want to try to call back in? We don't have a good connection.
Sure.
Okay, let's go to Kimberly on line one, and then we'll come back to Chelsea. Okay.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Kimberly, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much. Thank you for continuing to share what I'm living right now. And it's gotten pretty intense this week. The show cause hearing date week was up, and I was denied an opportunity to be able to actually have an appointment. Tried calling, got hung up on. Basically, I'm trying to ask questions as is my right. And on Friday afternoon, about 4:15, I ended up having to walk in my rebuttal. And was met with the treasurer's office pulling the windows on me, refusing it, sending it back out their window three times. So I went over and I put it on the clerk's desk, and she was the one that did their registrations or the recordings for me for the land patents in last June. And so I put it on her desk and said, they're not taking this. And apparently, I don't know if they called the sheriff or not, but we just hightailed it out of there at that point. But, you know, I basically served them and they were pretty upset about it. And, you know, really, you know, very ugly, in fact. So,
I would call that a success, right? You got it in.
Well, they took it, but she basically abandoned it on the side of the counter of the public, and basically said she wouldn't accept it. It had two land patents from the Wraith Steel authenticated from the Bureau of Land Management, and my rebuttal letter was a notary Wraith Steel. And so she, by law, has to, the minute it touches the counter, receive that. That's actually the law. And it was shoved, literally shoved back out. So I do have it all on recording, and you know, it's something that I have proof and evidence of, that the man that escorted me to do the serving process, you know, was there as well. So much they won't see me, and as of February 27th of this year, you know, they're going to try and take all three land patented owned outright properties. And
it's not going to happen. You got this. Okay, I feel it. I think it's going to turn out good for you, because good things are coming.
I do hope so.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that the locals don't have the awareness yet. And because they have so much in their coffers that are in backup, they can potentially run longer and run railroad on people.
So, you are right.
It's not. Call out of the county. Let them know you're watching. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Kimberly, for updating us. That's wonderful. To me, it sounds like you're making some leeway there with the county. So just hang in there, because good things are coming. I feel it. All right. Is Chelsea back by any chance or not?
No, it looks like Arrow's online.
Okay. All right, Arrow. Let's take Arrow. Hello, Arrow. Arrow? Oh, one moment. Looks like she dropped. All right. We'll take her back when she comes. So we got a few minutes left, so I'm going to kind of quick get through this. The asset is already deposited. They just create matching liabilities. Never mind. I already read that part. So I want to talk about the 12 CFR Section 204, which breaks down the definition of deposit. And just let us know when Errol's back and we'll go over to the line. So 12 CFR Part 204, also known as Regulation D, is a federal regulation issued by the Board of Governors of Federal Reserve System under the authority of Federal Reserve Act 12 U.S.C. 461 ETSEC. It established reserve requirements for depository institutions such as banks and credit unions to help implement monetary policy and maintain stability in the banking system. Interesting. Okay, so where are we at on time? We got a few minutes. Okay, so loan amounts are recorded as liabilities and not as bank money. Does everybody hear that? Liabilities, not as bank monies. So loans are recorded as receivables, not expenditures. So when you are getting a loan, they are not giving you money. They are getting a claim on a bookkeeping entry. This entry was funded by your signature. Take us back to the straw man theory. Just saying, you might want to look into that. If you want to go deeper, know that this is a violation of traditional consideration principles under the Statement of Contracts. Essentially says a contract requires value, meaning it has to be tangible. Such as, what does tangible mean? It means to be seen, touched, measured. And such, is somebody there? Such as land and real estate, buildings and homes, equipment and tools, precious metals, gold and silver, which we know the banks have to get that going, right, Shane? Okay, Shane's on taking care of business. Okay, Chelsea is back. Okay, come on, Chelsea.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, darling, we got you back on the line. How are you in Australia?
I'm good, thank you. It's a lovely day here. I'm having my first 2 nights away without my kids in the last 5 years, so I've got a little bit of freedom.
Yay.
And I thought I'd call you and see how you are and say thank you so much.
Yes, anytime. And we're going to do our best to try to find more people out that way so you guys can start collaborating in regard to the homestead, because you said that you live how far from the nearest people, 4 miles?
Oh, well, so we've recently moved, but all our family's probably 4 hours away.
Okay.
So we started a business and moved to a town where we didn't know anyone, which is going great. We're like, loving the beach and everything. I'm doing homeschool with the kids. But yeah, just really would love to meet other homesteaders or in the same state even would be lovely.
Yeah, exactly.
I had listened to a few callers. I believe one was in Sydney. I would love to, you know, connect with her. And I know she had had some success with the getting the land patent. So, but I listened to your caller earlier and I am in the works of setting up the trust. So that's
beautiful.
Where I'm at the moment.
Beautiful. I love it. I love to hear that. And yeah, thank you for calling in. I hate to cut you short, but we got to go. It's getting to the end of the show. But Chelsea, please call back again if you can, okay? Because we're gonna get you connected. I promise you. Okay.
Okay. Much love. Bye, Robin. See
all
you.
Right.
Sending
you a heart.
Thank you.
Vibes. All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Shane is on his way over to Q Friends and being inspired. And so we're all going to follow him that way with the lovely Aloha. I do believe there is Errol and Karen, correct?
That's right. That's right.
All right. Sounds like a party. So let's wrap this episode up of PRQ Homesteading on Banks and the Value of Your Signature. We didn't get through all the material, so maybe I'll bring it in on the next show. Remember, your name is your power. Use it wisely to forge paths of true independence, free from the systems of debt and dependency. Stay rooted in love, protect your sovereignty, and build those homestead dreams for your heart with intention and your homestead patents. I am Robin and
Shane.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you to BBS Radio for the airwaves and to all of our subscribers and listeners and all the people that called in today. For your unwavering support. Until next time, sending heartfelt vibes. Have a beautiful Saturday.
Have a beautiful day. Thank you.